Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome back. Flowcheck Podcast here. I'm your host, Gordon, with Olivia Ekpone. We had a world record.
We did.
And it wasn't Kipchoge.
It wasn't.
And it wasn't a world record by just a second or two. It was an incredible world record. It was a time that now we thought 2:14 was going to be stay there in the all-time marks. But now we're going to 2:11s. This is unreal. We'll get all into it. Marathon went down in Berlin this past weekend. We also had some NCAA cross-country action go down on Saturday and Friday. We have a big, big mix-up in the cross-country rankings and who actually is the new favorite on the men's and women's side. We'll dive into that in the second half of the podcast. But before we get into Berlin and cross-country, how was your weekend?
My weekend was great.
Yeah?
And based off what you're wearing today, I'm assuming yours was great as well.
Well, the weekend is not over yet because they play Monday Night Football.
Oh, so. Excuse me.
But it was great.
Sorry. I'm not an Eagles fan to know what the schedule is.
No, it's fine. It was great because the Cowboys lost, which was great.
That was great.
The Washington Commanders lost.
That was not
which
great
was great.
For me.
The Giants are the Giants, which is great. So life's been good for, and the Phillies are about to clinch a postseason berth. Mm-hmm. So my Philadelphia world is going well.
That's good.
Track world, this is how I time it. As soon as the track season ends, the Philadelphia sports fandom begins.
Of course.
Because it fills that void.
It fills the void.
And then when we get to the 76ers, we just don't talk about that. Because they hurt me way too many times. The Sixers have hurt me way too many times.
Skip that part, right?
weekend was great. How was watching a marathon early in the morning?
Well, see, Ashley took the reins on that one. I did get the update and I was just mind blown by the world record performance. And I was like, did Kipchoge win? That was my first question. She's like, yep, we're good. And then world record.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's hard for me. So I mean, I didn't watch it live. I watched I was more of just following the tweet updates from Ashley because it's just hard to be awake. But then we had the full replay. So then you watch the full replay Sunday morning with a cup of coffee and you act like it's live.
Yeah.
You just pretend. You just turn off the internet and you'd be like, oh, I'm watching it for the first time now.
Exactly.
It's just so, I wish some of these all-time great moments would happen in my time zone.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be
Why
great?
Can't we just do that? Berlin, London, Valencia. Can you guys just pretend, do your marathons at 2 in the afternoon? For me?
Oh, gosh.
In the blistering sun?
Just for me.
Yeah, I need to be able to watch you at 8 a.m. my time, so you need to run at 2 p.m. your time. That's all I'm asking. It's just a little
things.
That
would be wild.
Just little things. So we'll get into Berlin Marathon, cross country, but first, we want to thank our sponsor, Wonderful Pistachios. Hit it, Olivia.
Yes. Today, I was looking for a protein-packed punch, And I actually had the chili roasted wonderful pistachios Ooh. Today, which were incredible. And what I love about pistachios as a whole is they're tasty, they're healthy, they're wonderful, hence the name Wonderful Pistachios. And each 1 ounce serving of Wonderful Pistachios contains 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. It's one of the highest protein nuts out there, Gordon, but that's not all. Pistachios are also known for their fiber and their better for you unsaturated fats, which may keep you helping feeling fuller longer. And the best part about this is there's a variety of flavors that Wonderful Pistachio has with different flavors and sizes. It's just honestly perfect for like sticking it in your bag, going out on the go, picking up the kids, going in between meetings. So whether you're busy on the go, or you're watching football on the couch or marathon, whatever that may be, make sure you pick up a Wonderful Pistachio. It's going to be your new go-to snack. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Thank you. So here's the thing. When Ilya Kipchoge runs a marathon and you react to it, he's always going to be the A block. He's going to be the first thing you talk about.
Yes.
It's going to be Kipchoge, whether he wins, breaks a world record, or even loses. Yes. When he got 6th or 8th at Boston, that was the headline.
Right.
Kipchoge doesn't win. But yeah. Kipchoge's not the headline coming out of Berlin. Because we've seen him win the Berlin Marathon many times.
Yes.
We see him run these 2:02s that he ran many of times.
Right.
It's old news. What we haven't seen, though, is a woman run 2:11.
Yes.
Sub 2:12.
That's ridiculous.
And I did not think that Assefa would be the top headline coming out of this weekend, but she is.
Yeah.
She runs 2:11:53. Remember, she was an 800 meter runner?
Yes, back in 2016.
Talk about range.
Wild. Yes, talk about range for sure.
2:11:53 breaks the world record by 2 minutes and 11 seconds. A solid
high school
800 meter time.
It's not like a few seconds, right? Like, we're talking minutes
yes.
in a marathon. Like, that's huge.
Broke it by 2 minutes and 11 seconds. Goes out, negative splits, goes 106.20 for the first half, 105.33 for the second half. It just showed that. Also, not in Nike shoes.
Yeah.
Which everyone wants to talk about. Oh, it's the shoes, it's the shoes. She does it in Adidas shoes. We'll talk a little bit about that later.
Yeah.
But first of all, how the hell did this happen? How the hell does someone run 2 minutes faster than a world record that was already an extreme world record? The limits now, I think, for women's marathoning is, we think, like, this doesn't seem like something that's like a once in a lifetime moment. This record's going to get broken again, which is kind of crazy to think that a record that was 2 minutes faster than the previous record is easily going to get broken. But if she's able to run 2:11:53, there are marathoners out there who I think can beat her in a race 7 out of 10 times.
Are you serious right
now? The women's marathoning world is ridiculously deep. Ridiculous. We see Safwan Hassan, who just is 1-0. Right in the marathon. You see all these other 10K women coming up in a marathon. Faith Kipyegon is going to be doing the marathon probably eventually one day. And then you also have the dominant, you know, women like the who have been dominating this current era. She's the one of many, which just gets me so excited because we're going to see now a new. We thought the past 4 years of women running in the 2:17 to 2:16 range was crazy. We're now going to see an era where you're going to see women running in the 2:14 to 2:11 range, like 10 different women in that range. In the next 5 years, there will be 6 other women who will run faster than 2:14:04.
That's a bold statement.
I don't think it is. I think we just have yet to scratch the surface for women's marathon.
I just can't wrap my head around anything faster than 2:14 and then 2:11. And you think 2:11 is going to be broken?
Yeah. I mean, what was her PB before this race?
Wasn't it? It had to be, well, definitely slower than 2:14.
Yeah. Let me bring it up. So her PB before this race, personal bests. progression. She ran a 400 in 54 seconds. Congrats to her. She's so she ran 2:15:37. That was her PB. And she ran that in 2022.
Okay.
There's a lot of 2:15. There's other women out there who are in that 2:16, 2:17 range who then are going to be able to put together a fast one. Now, I'm not trying to diminish what she's doing, for the record. This is an all-time great moment.
Because I'm thinking... Go ahead. I'm going
to
let you finish.
This is an all-time great moment. But to me, it's really not about just her. It's about the event as a whole on the women's side is just continuing to explode. Yes. Race after race after race. New women enter year in and year out.
Mm-hmm.
No one was talking about her in 2021, 2 years ago. She was, you know, like she said, she was an 800-meter runner in 2016. She started getting in the roads in the 18-19 range. She runs a 108 half marathon in 2019, which is very good, don't get me wrong. But now she runs faster than that in back-to-back marathons.
Yeah.
I mean, back-to-back halves.
I just think I'm still wrapping my head around your statement of, like, you think 2:11 would be broken. And I'm like,
it's gonna be.
I understand the depth of the field. Like you said, there's all these very, very talented distance runners that could definitely maybe make a knock at it. But you got to be able to line up and get on a really solid course to be able to do that. You know what I mean? So I feel like it would be challenging.
I think we're getting close to, I don't know if this isn't as sexy as breaking 2, but breaking 2:10. Like the first woman to break 2 to run a 2:09:59 marathon.
Oh my
marathon.
Gosh, I can't even,
like,
think about that.
We're in that range. Like, we're going to see that in our lifetime. We're going to see a 2:09 women's marathon in at least the next 20 years. 100%. Now, I would put my entire 401k on that. That we will see a 2:09:59 in the next 20 years.
All right,
years.
Let's do it.
All right.
On this podcast, September 25th.
September 25th.
You have 20 years from today.
So I gotta go through the end of the year of 2043.
No, this time.
No, by like, because if they do it in Chicago a week later.
Okay, fine. I'll give you to the end December of.
No, there won't be a world record in Chicago. But.
What year is it? 2020. Okay, 2043.
Yeah. So January 1.
31st, 2043.
There will be a 2:09.
I'll hit you up.
Yes, and you can have all my 401k.
Okay. 2:09.
Watch, on December 30th, I'm just going to cash it all out. So I don't have a 401k anymore. It's gone.
2:09.
2:09:59 in the next 20 59. Years. 100%.
Oh, gosh. There's... I'm not going to say it's impossible, but that's big. That's bold.
Yeah. Well, you know, she wasn't expecting to break the record. She
no,
said
she
in
wasn't.
An interview. So I think there's going to be a lot of women out there who aren't going to expect to break records, and then we'll see a 2:09.
Okay, so that kind of moves me into foot apparel, because that's been kind of talk of the talk lately with track and field, with the new shoes.
And it's died down, which is nice, because everyone cared about the Nike Super Shoes for far too long.
But here we have the Adios Pro Evo 1.
Which, let's be honest.
Racing shoes.
That's a very long word.
It is.
How many?
Well, there's.
Adidas. It sounds like they're getting like an iPhone for a shoe. Adidas Zero Adios Pro Evo 1. Do they even need the 1 in there? Like,
well, it's probably the first version.
So they're gonna do Adidas Zero.
I don't know. I'm not really like a sneakerhead to know like what types of shoes.
Adidas Zero.
But maybe
Adios.
This is the first one.
Yeah.
But according to Asefa, like, this has been the lightest racing shoe she's ever worn, and it was just an incredible experience. And for her, it just, you know, she want to be able to just focus on running. And I feel like the shoe is very light. And, you know, shoes play a huge role. So I wonder now, as we continue to progress with technology and different styling of shoes and, you know, the weight and things of that nature, if we're going to see more athletes putting on lighter shoes. It's going to feel like you're running barefoot.
Yeah, but the real, it's not about it being light. It's about it conserving your energy, so every time you impact it, it gives you a good bounce back, so you don't feel like your body, when you're running 26 miles, there's a lot of times your foot touches the ground, and that adds up.
How many steps that is? How many steps are in a?
How many steps are in a marathon?
Yeah, like the average person.
What do you think it is?
I don't know.
I bet it is...
I really don't know.
One, 20, two, maybe. Three. Hold on, I'm counting. Four, five. I'm just going to count all 26 miles. All right, no, don't look it up. All right, I'm going to say there are... 10,000 is probably three... I'm going to say 10,000 times... times 10. 100,000. What are you on?
I don't know. Gosh, that's a lot of steps.
My saying 100,000.
You're saying, did you Google it?
No, that's what I did.
Are you close?
How many steps are in a marathon?
Because it's going to vary.
I was off. It's 55,000.
Okay, see, my gut was like 45.
Running is 39,000. I was way off. Yeah, 55 to walk it, 39 to run it. So that's a lot of moments.
That's a lot of pounding.
That add up to, yeah. But yeah, so there was a statement. They were talking about how the shoe's great. I'm just now excited. Now Nike has to clap back. They got to make a shoe that runs 211, 52.
Yeah.
And then Adidas has to do 211, 51. And we keep going until we get to 209, 59. But that wasn't the only race that went down. Also, men's side, Kipchoge. He said he wanted the record again.
Yeah, he was kind of going for it. And then I think halfway through he realized that he was off.
Yeah.
His first half was, 1 hour, 22 seconds. And then eventually the mind just shifted and was like, okay, first half didn't go like I wanted, like I was expecting. So I'm going to pivot and just go for the win now.
Yeah.
And I feel like in this instance, I don't know if he had the pressure of breaking another world record. Just kind of going into the race, but I would think he would just want to go for the big win.
Yeah, so let's counting up now all of his majors. He has won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 11 majors, mm-hmm. including 2 Olympic titles. That counts as a major. So 13 notable marathon victories. He probably won some other marathons, obviously, that aren't part of the world majors, but 13 notable marathons, with one silver being in 2013. He's had a couple other like 6th or 5th place finishes, like at Boston and in London in the rain, but 13 now wins.
Yeah.
First one was in 2014 in Chicago, and now he's still going strong all the way through 2023.
Mm-hmm.
That was his 5th Berlin win. So he has 5 Berlin wins. He has 4 London wins. He has 1 Chicago win. He has 1 Tokyo win. But he has 0 New York wins and 0 Boston wins. This guy needs to have at least a win in those two races. He has to. Now he has yet to even run New York. So I'm guessing maybe he does New York Marathon next year after the Olympics. That would make sense, maybe, because the Olympics will be in August. He could then run a late fall marathon.
Yeah.
And then maybe he runs... Does he do Boston again in this coming year, in 2024, April? So he'll run Boston in April, Olympics in August, and then New York in November, and then call that a career?
Call that a career.
Go 3-0 in 2024?
I'm all for it.
That'll be hard. I mean, if anyone can do it, he just ran 2:02. Like, there's not a lot of men out there who are running 2:02.
Yeah.
So he's still the best. It's weird to, even put doubt on him, but when you see him finish outside the top three in Boston, you think, oh, he's human.
Right.
But then, a few months later, he goes out there and runs 2:02. So the guy is still fit. He's still healthy. I think that's his plan. I think he's going to do Boston, Olympics, New York, all in the same year. And then you would think that would be the end. But it's Kipchoge.
Remember, he might run in a few turkey trots. So.
Yes, he's going to do some turkey trots. Get him in turkey trots. That's your chance to get the victory over Kipchoge. On the men's side, also... US-wise, I think Jared Ward was the top American, who only beat the women's champion by 12 seconds.
we were talking, weren't we talking about this last week? How, like, you just gotta make sure you're just ahead of
the fastest woman ever.
Fastest woman.
If Jared Ward made sure he was. He's like, all right,
I gotta do it.
I gotta be faster than the women's world record time, which at the time was 2:14, but then it became 2:11. He's like, I gotta run a little faster. Some of the American men, like Scott Faubel and Jared Ward, were eyeing the Olympic standard, which is much faster this year than in previous years. But, so right now, no U.S. man has the standard. And people like the clickbaity headline, uh-oh, will America not send someone in the marathon? We still will probably likely send three because there is ability to qualify for the Olympic marathon via world rankings. And right now, seven men have a world ranking on the U.S. side that is high enough to be selected to run in the Olympic marathon.
Right.
Now, that ranking changes as we get closer to the deadline in 2024, but there's no, you know, rankings will go up and down. Everyone wants the time, but hey, if the American men, like, they got to be able to run 208. It shouldn't be this hard. It makes...
Gordon Mack, let's sign you up for a full marathon. Have you run 208?
Well, there's hundreds and hundreds of men who do it who just happen to not be from America.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not like a human thing. It's an American thing.
A human thing.
Because humans are doing humans are doing it all the time. But American humans are not.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is. I think the way the way they train maybe in the NCAA system where they kind of focusing on racing and just competition, which is a great thing to focus on because at the end of the day, winning is all that matters. It's not about time trialing.
Right.
But in the marathon, you got to be able to kind of time trial. You got to be able to click off those miles and not just compete for the win or for the place, but compete against the clock. And, you know, the American men just have yet to figure that out. They're talented enough. I think a lot of the American men have the ability to run, hell, 207s, but just for some reason can't put it together at the right moment. The women are doing it. The women are running fast. Now, there could be an argument like, is the standard for women equal to the standard for men? Like, whatever you could do, bring out the tables and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It doesn't look good when, you know, there's not even an American in the... I think Jared Ward finished like 30th or something like that.
Somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah, so... again, we have Chicago. New York won't be fast. Chicago could be fast. We'll see after that. But it's looking like the Olympic marathon trials is going to have a lot of, not confusion, but intrigue. Because everyone's going to be like, all right, no one has the time. So you need the place. You need the ranking.
Yeah.
Who's going to be? And it's just going to be interesting.
It just adds a lot more pressure at that point.
Yes. And most likely, they're not going to run the time at the trials.
Right.
Because it's not going to be a fast enough course. And people are going to complain. The marathoners are going to be like, this is not great. And it's like, run fast. That's all you got to do.
Gordon's message.
Just run fast.
Just run fast.
I can't run fast, and I would never be able to run as fast. But at the end of the day, there are humans who are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So just do it.
So just do it.
Yeah. Simple, right?
It's simple.
Well, it's simple.
Yeah.
Run fast.
I think there's a little bit of like, maybe I'm wrong, but like, USA is so used to like, if you're top three in the US, you go to the Olympics in most events. And so there's this like understood like feelings like, I should be able, if I'm top three in America, I deserve to go to the Olympics. And that's not how it works.
No.
It's not about being top three. You have to be top 40 or top 50 or top 80 in the world if you want to go to the Olympics. But we kind of just are... It's just always been known that if you're top 3 in America, you likely are top 80 in the world.
Yeah.
But men's marathon, top 3 in America is not top 80 in the world.
It's not
top 80 in the world.
Yeah, it's tough. So, tough world we live in.
We'll talk more about the marathons as the season continues, but there's currently a void in U.S. men's marathon, and we're still waiting to see where it's going to all play out. I think my marathon team right now, I would probably put Connor Mance, Galen Rupp maybe? I don't know. We haven't seen Rupp in forever.
That's a Interesting. Oh,
the men's marathon team. I don't even want to think about it. I'm not even going to think about that. I'm going to save that for another
time. For another episode.
All right, let's talk about cross country.
Yes.
Cross country. Finally, the season began.
It's been a busy weekend.
Finally, we have results that actually mean something, results that matter, results that have moved the needle. And we'll start with the big meet, which was in Virginia, the home of NCAA's Virginia Invitational. We'll start with the men's results. Drew Bosley took the win. Probably expected. He was the favorite going into this race. He beat some good athletes in Kai Robinson and Parker Wolf. But Drew Bosley's been healthy. He's been running well. He did not run NCAA outdoors, so he has fresh legs in him. He kind of shut down his season early. He's looking good. He's 2-0 now in his races. He takes the win, leading NAU to the win over a good team in BYU. Mm-hmm. NAU had 71 points, BYU 101. They were truly the only two real contenders there. BYU did not run Casey Klinger. BYU did not run Kenneth Rooks, who's off of Worlds. But NAU didn't run Nico Young. NAU didn't run their Wake Forest transfer. So everyone is holding some cards.
Yeah. They're just kind of showing you a little bit, yeah. But not all the cards at one time.
But this is, it makes sense. NAU 71, BYU 101. North Carolina, good race, gets third, 157. But this is a story that I think came out of this meet on the men's side, is you want to see how the freshmen do.
Yes. That's where my eyes went.
That's
right. I'm like, where did...
It's the first real test.
The freshmen go... And I feel like this was a big performance for Rocky Hansen, who finished fifth.
Yes.
And I'm not going to lie to you, like, especially when you look at the freshmen that are in this race, like, you had the Young brothers. So yep. I'm like, okay, these are top athletes that competed at NXN last year. And here goes Rocky Hansen finishing fifth with a 23:30. And I was like, wow, he's putting it all together. And, you know, the standout athlete from North Carolina really just put on a show.
Yeah, he finished fifth. So the Noble High School... U.S.-based freshman.
Yeah.
There was an international freshman who finished 21st for Eastern Kentucky. So, Rocky Hansen finished 5th. The next best freshman was Tyrone Gorzy of Washington, finished 34th. Mm-hmm. Then you had Leo Young finishing 46th. And where did Leo Young's brother, Lex Young, finish 75th?
Yeah.
That seemed out of whack. Mm-hmm. I mean, Stanford is looking to those two guys. Yes, they're true freshmen, so... At the end of the day, we should be like, hey, guys, chill out. They're just freshmen. But Stanford is looking at those two guys to be top five guys on their team, mm-hmm. to be All-American caliber. Mm-hmm. So I still think they have the ability to be All-American caliber. This definitely was a wake-up call for them. They've been so used to being the front of every race they're in. And now for them to finish 46. When's the last time Leo Young has finished outside the top 45? When's the last time Lex Young has finished outside of top 74? It probably never happened. They've always been up there whenever race they run. But again, it's the first race, so I'm sure they'll be able to bounce back. But this did take a hit on my thought of Stanford's title chances, because if Lex and Leo are top 20 caliber, they're not going to win the national title.
No.
Then maybe this might be a mulligan year for Stanford. They still are young. They have a bunch of freshmen and sophomores. It could be maybe they're focusing on 2025 or 2024 to be the year that they have a team that can actually win.
Right, exactly. So it definitely is a wake-up call for the individuals. And I feel like kind of what you said, like when you think of Lex and Leo Young, like you think of them as like the leaders, and especially just seeing them at that high school level, they definitely were leading Newberry Park to outstanding performances throughout the course of the last 4 years. And, you know, now, like you said, it's a wake-up call. You're running with the men. You're running against the big dogs in these fields. And this was a pretty stacked race in Virginia. And so I think it's definitely a lesson they're probably going to learn. Like, might have to do some different race strategies, and especially with them being freshmen and being thrown out there into the wolves, I guess you can say, is definitely going to make them think a little bit more about what they can do to, like, move up in those fields.
You look at, for Leo, he basically in the first 1K, or I guess the first 2K, he was 68th, and then he just stayed in that range. which I think it shows that, like, where you are in the first 2K of an 8K can heavily dictate where you finish. If you get yourself out there, if you put yourself in the top 30, mm-hmm. you'll probably stay in the top 30. If you put yourself out there staying 60th, you're going to stay in the 40 to 80 range. If you get buried and stay in the 100, you're going to stay in the 80 to 120 range. And I think they're just learning a lot about, hey, you got to put yourself, you got to put yourself in position yeah. if you really want to have a chance to be a legitimate scorer.
Yeah.
But NAU wins, BYU too. That's what we expected.
Yes.
On the women's side, Elise Stearns of NAU took the win. This is a new look women's team. They have some transfers coming in. Not all their transfers ran, I don't believe. But Gracelyn Larkin was their third runner. They still have Ruby Smee of San Francisco waiting in the wings. So, but NAU women now getting a win here, a dominating win, 48 points to Stanford's 104. Virginia took third, Washington fourth. Colorado all the way back in ninth. I think that's kind of a surprise thing looking there.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why Colorado finished ninth, though, is they didn't run most of their top runners, which could be a good thing or a bad thing.
Mm.
It could be a good thing because, hey, they're holding their cards.
Yeah.
But it also could be a bad thing because maybe they're not running because they're not healthy. And if they're not healthy, that will hurt Colorado's chances of being in the title contention because they do have Natalie Cook. But if she's not running, that hurts them. They have Ella Barron. Shout out Johns Hopkins. If she's hurt and not running, that could hurt them. They have Marley Starlipper. If she's hurt and not running, that's going to hurt them. They're still going to be a top 10 type team, I think. But in order for them to be a podium slash winning team, they're going to need...
They're going to need all the heavy hitters.
All the heavy hitters to run. If they're not healthy, that's you just got to... It's not going
to... Yeah, it's tough. And again, this is so... It's crazy to think, like, this is still very early in the season to kind of know. But yeah, as we kind of just move forward throughout the course of this cross-country season, we'll get more of those questions answered. But I was definitely impressed with Carrie Beloga, who is a true freshman. She actually... is from New York, and she's from Cornwall High School, one of the top distance runners from that graduating class last year, finished 21st. So, again, just this has been definitely a learning experience for a lot of these first-timers competing here. So, yeah, just great performances.
Yeah, so let's dive into some other notable races. Roy Griak, this is mainly notable for one reason and one reason only. I previewed this last week on the podcast. But mm-hmm. if you go to the men's gold 8K race, Haptum Samuel of New Mexico runs 23:36.
Mm-hmm.
He wins by almost, 25 seconds.
Yeah.
Beats Will Smith, who's a legitimate, like, top 20 type guy, top 40 maybe type guy. But this guy might win NCAAs. Looking at course
record. Which guy?
Samuel.
Okay.
Of New Mexico.
Okay.
I need to stop it with not knowing how to say country names. Eritrean? How do you say this? I'm ruining the bit. I'm ruining the segment. Oh, you don't even know either?
No.
Eritrea. Same country as Wendy Colati was from.
Okay.
Anyway, but he has personal bests of 13:13 in the 5K and 27:20 in the 10K.
Mm-hmm.
That is basically, Nico Young, Drew Bosley type, and even maybe even better range. The guy, he's only 19 years old. He's going to be winning every race up until NCAAs. He's going to dominate every race.
I thought you just said you think he's going to win.
Well, up until NCAA, we'll wait till NCAA to say my final thought. I think he's the favorite right now. I have him ranked number one.
Y'all heard him, right? I heard it.
What?
You said, I think he's going to win NCAA.
I do. I do. I still think that.
But then you said up until.
Yeah.
He's going to win every race, and then NCAAs he's not winning.
No, I never said that. I said he's going to win every race up until NCAAs. That's a statement of fact. Doesn't mean he's not going to win NCAAs.
Okay. So you think he's going to win. I just want to hear it.
I think right now, yes. Okay. Right now, I think okay. he's going to win. But he's definitely going to impact the way the race plays out. I mean, you see a lot of these notable, like Alawi Lalang, Kennedy Kathuka, Steven Sambu, all these great international athletes who come into the NCAA, and they make it sometimes honest and hard. You have who's the most recent one? Oh my goodness, from Iowa State. Oh, Wilson. I need a.
Are you okay?
I think I'm losing. Wilson Kipsang? No, not Wilson. What the? XC. Jam. Like Edwin Kurgat? Yeah, you get the idea. You got a lot of people to come in and run well. I'm losing all. I've been covering cross country for 10 years. I'm starting to lose the track of all the names. It's been bad. What's happening is, you know how like when you have a lot of files on your computer?
Yes.
And you run out of hard drive space?
Yes.
You got to start deleting rewriting files. Over the old files. So there are some old cross country names that I have written over and I have forgotten. And I can't believe
the 10-year file should be like deleted.
Why can't I remember this guy's name? He won. It's not even from like, it's from 2 years ago. He runs for Hoka now. This is Wesley Kiptoo. I can't believe I forgot Wesley Kiptoo's name. Let's call him Wilson Kipsang. Wesley Kiptoo. Anyway, when Wesley Kiptoo came into into the NCAA, he changed up the way these cross country races are run. And I think the same thing that Samuel will do here. He's going to mix up the way the NAUs and Oklahoma States and BYUs have to run the race because he's going to go out hard. He's mm-hmm. going to make it honest. And it could hurt one of the top guys. It could help. You don't know. But New Mexico has a true top three here with Samuel, Kiprop, and Kiplagat. They don't have a good enough 4-5 to really be in podium contention. You can see their 4-5 finished 50th and 51st.
Which is going to hurt.
Cal Baptist won the race, which low-key, Cal Baptist, very damn good. Look at that spread. They went 4, 6, 8, 9, 19.
That's impressive.
And their 6-7 were 39 and 42.
Yeah, top 50.
Cal Baptist is a podium threat, in my opinion. Having that top four all within, you know, 20 seconds of each other, you know, all in the top 10, very good. On the women's side, the women's gold, Greta Karanasukate, sorry if I mispronounced your name, they won with a 1-point win over Utah. Another team, Cal Baptist women, low-key, top good, top 10 team. Cal Baptist, hell of a weekend.
Yeah, for them.
Hell of a... They went from... Obviously, they weren't eligible to be in the NCAAs because they're transferring from D2 to D1. Now mm-hmm. that four-year wait period is over, they got some great athletes on the roster. Mm-hmm. And both the men and women, not just going to be teams that make NCAAs, but they're going to be teams that could flirt with the podium, which is very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Anna Peters was the top freshman.
Yes.
Finishing third. Mm-hmm. Let's keep going through. So speaking of new results, Cowboy Jamboree. Okay.
This Break it down.
Dave Smith went to Kenya. And he... Oklahoma State, as people know, tied NAU, lost on tiebreaker.
Correct.
Not only did he lose on tiebreaker, so he's like, oh, god dang it, this is my one shot to beat NAU. Two of his top five guys left the program. One graduated, one went back to Europe. Roy Leonard, top five guy, left. Isai Rodriguez graduated. So he had two huge voids to fill.
Yeah.
And I looked at the roster, and I saw him not fill those voids. Yeah, he maybe got like a 1350 guy, but he did not fill those voids. So on paper, I was like, NAU, huge favorites.
But then?
Little did I know, Dave Smith went to Kenya and filled those two voids with Dennis Kipnegich and Brian Musau, who... Dennis Kipnegich... Musau is like a top 20, top 30 guy, so that flits right in. But Dennis Kipnegich, he is... going to be in the top. He's going to be in it with a mile to go. He's a top four individual, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. He runs an extremely fast time here. Runs 23:21. You don't worry about the team score or whatever. It was just a dual meet between Oklahoma State and Texas. But you now throw in Dennis Kipnegich with the Nico Young and Drew Bosley, with Samuel from New Mexico. Those four. Throw in also an Alex Mayer from Oklahoma State and throw in a Casey Klinger from BYU. The individual battle just got
spicy.
Wild.
And got spicy.
Oklahoma State went from, yeah, we're a podium team, to we're the favorites. He got three Kenyans. We only saw two here. There's a third Kenyan who may not be as good as these other two guys, but still. You throw in these two Kenyans, Kipnegich and Musau. You throw in Victor Shitsama, who's also a Kenyan, but he's been on the program for like 4 years now.
Yeah.
Alex Mayer, that's four. And then also Musadi Fouad, who's NCAA champion in the 3K. He's a top 10 guy. They have five guys. They also have, you know, Ryan Shoppe, who's a good six man, but they have five guys that on paper is better than NAU's five, better than BYU's five, better than anyone else's five. Oklahoma State, right now, September 25th, 2023, are the NCAA favorites.
All right.
And I never thought I would say that. I think that I was always going to be like, NAU is the favorite until I die, because they just always prove us wrong. They win, yeah, and they win and they win. But
things just got interesting.
They got a guy, Dennis Kipnegich. It's good. You ran 23-21. It's Oklahoma State men. They're good, and they're here to stay. Last result before we get into the rankings, Bill Dellinger. A result for the freshman fans out there. We'll start mainly just talking about the men. Simeon Birnbaum,
third. A.K.A. the Silent Hawk is what I call him.
That's what we call him. Silent Gets Hawk. Third. Very similar to like how Rocky did over at Virginia. Runs unattached. I assume that Oregon will pull the red shirt and let him run later on in the season. But, you know, it was 4 seconds back from the lead. It wasn't that deep of a field, but still, he's number two on the Oregon's team. If you're the second fastest runner on your team, I think coach should let you run.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Birnbaum putting together? And
oh, I'm all for Team Birnbaum here.
And juxtapose it, though, to Connor Burns, who finished...
like 30-something?
48. So they're two top freshmen, Birnbaum and Burns.
Mm-hmm.
One ran really well, one not so well. Oregon sneakily, you know, they got a lot of guys. They got a lot of good freshmen,
a lot
of good sophomores. I'm excited to see what they do. We just have to wait till they actually run because
yeah,
Coach Schumacher is just like not letting them run with Oregon O on their jersey yet.
Yeah. And I know we were kind of talking about this. It was just like maybe they're just trying to figure out what to do. Because you have a very... the team is deep right now.
Yeah,
and you have a lot of freshmen, so it's like all of them can't necessarily run, you know? So it's like kind of playing the cards right.
Yeah.
This is what you can do.
You want to set everyone up for success. You don't
Correct.
Want to pull a red shirt if they're the ninth best guy.
Right.
Or you don't want to not pull a red shirt if the guy can actually show up and be your top five.
Right.
So you have to balance it. But their performance here skyrocketed them up in my rankings.
Oh, yeah.
If assuming they pull the red shirt on all their top freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the rankings
yes.
now. Let's go over to team rankings. Like I said, NAU no longer number one. It only took 1 week, and I already lost faith in NAU. I don't know how it's possible.
Goodness gracious.
But I put Oklahoma like State that. Men now number one, NAU two, BYU three.
Oregon
four. Cal Baptist had a really good weekend. I put them five. North Carolina six. Syracuse seven. New Mexico, I put eight because I just think that they'll qualify and their fourth and fifth will just find a way to finish 150 and 151st, and then that's enough to get you. If their top three are all top 15,
mm-hmm.
they're only scoring two guys. So I put them eighth. Texas ninth and Stanford 10th. So the big changes was moving Stanford down from 4 to 10, moving Oklahoma State up to 1, and moving Oregon up from 10 to 4.
And New Mexico, you didn't even have on there.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know they had these three guys.
Big jumps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was a big moment of like, oh, I didn't know these were on your roster. You're now ranked well. But yeah, the big change here is I'm surprised you're not giving me any pushback for not ranking and keeping NAU one because they have they won.
You sold me.
Sold you?
On Oklahoma State.
I did?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. This seems too good to be true.
No, I'm serious.
At first, when I saw this earlier today,
I was like, ooh, is Gordon okay?
Yeah,
like,
Gordon,
why?
What's going on?
I was going to ask you, but then you broke it down.
Yeah.
They ran well this past weekend. So, yeah, I think that's great. Oklahoma State won, NAU second.
On the women's side, not much change. I still believe Colorado, if, again, they're being ranked based on if their top runners run. If they don't run, I'm going to have to drop them in the rankings. NAU stays in the podium. NC State still number one. Oklahoma State moved up. Florida stayed in five. The big change, I think, here, I mean, I moved Cal Baptist from 22 to 12. Utah, I didn't have ranked. They're now six. Oregon women, I dropped down from two to seven. But yeah, I think it's a fair rank. New Mexico women, they moved from not ranked to 15th. So yeah, I think it's fair.
Fair.
Is it fair?
It is.
I'm waiting to see NC State run. They'll run this weekend. See how Tui and that crew does. And Florida. We have yet to see. I want to see Florida run with their true five and NC State run with their true five. And even Colorado run with their true five. Really, we've only seen NAU run with their true five. And they won. Convincingly.
Yeah.
Now it's NC State's, Colorado's, and Florida's turn to do the same.
Yeah.
Let's talk about individuals, though. We'll start with the men.
Okay.
I'm going Samuel from New Mexico, one. Nico Young, NAU, two. Kipnegich, Oklahoma State, three. Bosley, NAU, four. Mayer, Oklahoma State, five. So look, I have NAU, OK State.
It's literally the battle of the freshmen and seniors, plus Young, who's a junior.
Yeah. Well, international freshman.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But I have NAU, Oklahoma State, NAU, Oklahoma State. So I have two in the top five from both of those teams. I have Graham Blanks of Harvard, six. Casey Klinger, seventh. Parker Wolf, eighth. Kai Robinson, nine. And Dylan Schubert of Furman, 10. If we do a search, my current freshman, if we take out the international freshman, I have Rocky Hansen, 25th.
Team Rocky Hansen over here.
I have
here.
Simeon Birnbaum, 36th.
Wait, where'd you have?
I have Simeon Birnbaum, 36th. We're talking about true freshman, and then Tyrone Gorzy of Washington, 91. Archie Noakes of Oregon, 114. Carson Noker, 121, South Dakota State. And then I have Leo Young, 123rd. So I dropped the Young twins really low. Joseph O'Brien, a freshman, 146. Paul Beavin, freshman from Santa Clara, 150. Isaac McGill of Portland, freshman, 156. Where is the other? I have Lex Young, 206. So Stanford's really getting hurt. Their two main freshmen didn't run too well. So we'll see how they do bounce back at Nutty Comb.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe in Lex and Leo Young. But, hey, I got to start ranking on how you do, not how I think you're going to do.
Exactly. That's what rankings should be about.
Yeah. And then women, I'm going Caitlin Tui, one. Parker Valby, two. Doris Lemongol, a freshman from Alabama. She won her opening meet. She's a 14:45 runner.
Mm.
I ranked her third mainly just out of respect of Valby and Tui. I just don't want to put the newcomer above them because they're both NCAA champions. They deserve to stay one, two. Big changes. I put Greta from CBU in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Nicola Jansen of New Mexico, I put eighth. You can check out the rankings on our website if you're listening to the audio version to follow along. We'll update him again next week after Joe Piani. Any thoughts? I feel like I talked a lot.
No, I thought you had a lot to break down this week.
Yes.
Which was great.
And I had to do a lot of refreshing. As you notice, my brain started refrying. I couldn't remember Wesley Kiptu's name. I called Wesley Kiptu Wilson Kipsang, which is kind of close to the same initials.
Yeah.
W and K.
Yeah.
I was just way off.
You're very off, but it's okay.
But
it's okay. You broke a lot of things down. Because I know you take control of the ranking, so I felt like this was a great opportunity for you to explain and kind of show us your thought process behind how you came up with these lists for both the men and the women, team and individual. So.
And I'll be honest. So I did a drastic change to the rankings. I changed the way I do the algorithm pretty much every week. I think it's because I just have commitment issues maybe to my algorithm. But the algorithm...
Or do you feel like it's not accurate to what you think it should be?
No. I just begin like, I don't believe in that algorithm anymore. I'm going to change it.
Well, do you want to share? Or
Oh, it's proprietary, of course.
Okay.
But the algorithm for preseason, I looked at 2021 NCAAs, 2022 NCAAs, 2023 track.
Okay.
And that's it. And I was just like, why am I looking at 2021 NCAAs? That's so far away. The reason I do it is because some people, like, have a really bad year where they finished 200th, but the previous year they were, like, top 10. They're probably more like a top 10 runner than a 200th runner. And so I want to, like, give them benefit of doubt. But now I'm kind of like, no. I'm only going to talk about what you did. And I also, so I was like, 2021 means nothing anymore. So
You really look at 2021 results?
It's like 2 years ago. It's like the past two NCAA championships. 2021 cross country, right. 2022 cross country. And so you like look at like, all right, if someone was finished second at NCAAs 2 years ago and then finished 80th the next year, are they more likely the 80th best runner or the second best runner? They're probably more like the second best runner. And they go on to have a great track season. That means clearly they just had like cramps or something and something bad happened. But anyway, I took out 2021 results. So I'm only looking at 2022 now. I also took out track results. I was like, I don't care about your track times. Track times mean nothing. Because now I have these... I have Cowboy Jamboree.
Track times mean nothing?
In cross
country? It's the most recent season.
No, what? You know what's more recent? Cowboy Jamboree. Roy Grieck. Virginia meet.
Right. I thought you were just talking preseason, though. You said preseason.
That was all preseason. But these next... The September 25th rankings.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That doesn't matter. I thought we were still on preseason.
No, it's like not preseason. No. I kept the preseason rankings.
No, you started out with, like, how I did preseason... And then you were talking about it.
Yeah, that's how I did it. I did it with track 2021.
Okay, that makes sense. Oh, okay.
But this week.
Now, yes.
I said I don't care about your track times no more.
Yeah, it doesn't matter now.
Because now I care about
you. We're in the season.
I need your grass times. I need what you did in Virginia. So Lex and Leo Young, yes, you were the two best high school kids. But now you're 48th and 75th at UVA, in my mind.
It's, yeah, very fair.
So. Oh, man, I feel like I just did a marathon of cross-country talk.
Seriously?
Yeah, I talked a lot. My brain hurts.
Sorry.
We need to talk a little bit about sprinting.
I don't have anything for you.
There's something happened. There's gotta be.
What happened? They're on vacation.
They went.
They're at Beyonce concerts right now.
Are they? Did any sprinter go to a Beyonce concert?
I thought Anna Cockrell. Right.
She did. Okay.
Wait. Don't quote me. When I did talk to her at. In Eugene, she did say she was going to see Beyonce. I saw Beyonce this past weekend. So I was like, oh, cool.
All right.
I don't know if she actually went.
Let's look up at Fred Curley. Fred Curley update.
Are you on Twitter?
Yeah, on Twitter. So he's got, first of all, he's got some great, did a photo shoot for Oakley. He looks badass. But more importantly, September 22nd, first day in the gym. He's already back. Vacation's over for Curley. September 22nd.
This has to be old footage.
What?
Is this the one you're talking about?
Oh, no. September 22nd. I'm looking at Twitter. You're on Instagram. Oh, yeah. First day in the gym.
But this was
four hours
ago.
So Fred Curley's back in the gym. September 24th, yesterday. Greatness, baby. Yes, sir. 7 hours ago. Greatness. 1 hour ago. An American flag emoji. Fred Curley is back, ladies and gentlemen. He had a shitty year.
No.
He had a shitty year. He's the world champion from 2022.
I don't
believe. Did not go as well as planned.
I can't believe he's training right now. That literally was 2 weeks.
No, he's back.
No.
I'm back on the Curley train.
That's old. That's content that he's just repurposing.
No, he's just tweeting. Why would he tweet greatness?
Because that's where his mind's at.
Yeah.
His brain does not shut off from track sometimes. And that's okay.
Fred Curley, this is actually
he's very driven.
Let's do this segment. All right. I'm going to look at World Athletics Wiki 2022. All right. I'm going to name world champions from 2022 who did not have a good year in 2023. Fred Curley in the 100. Michael Norman in the 400. Emmanuel Carrere in the 800. Jake Whiteman in the 1500. Alison Dos Santos in the 400 hurdles. On the women's side. Shawnee Miller Weibo, but
she
had a baby, so it doesn't count. The 400. A Thing Mo in the 800, but she still kind of ran well. Shelly and Fraser Price.
She still ran well.
She still medaled. Toby Amison. She didn't medal. 100 hurdles. So, okay, let's look. All right, we'll take. Let's take Toby and the whole, like, stuff. So Toby Amison in the 100 hurdles.
Okay.
Emmanuel Carrere in the 800. Michael Norman in the 4. Fred Curley in the 1. Will any of those men or women win Olympic gold next year?
Shelly-Ann Fraser-Price.
No, I didn't. She's not listed. She's not going to win Olympic gold. Shelly-Ann's not winning Olympic gold.
I'm just manifesting. Stop it.
It's going to be Sharika or Sha'Carri.
A woman can dream.
It is fun, though, that the three of the best women...
I just want the rocket runner to just get one last one and then go on a better
life. It would be cool, though, if Sharika, Sha'Carri, and Shelly-Ann all take a photo, like, shh. Because that's their name. That was really dumb. But isn't it funny that the three fastest women all have shh in their name?
Oh my god.
What are the odds? What are the odds that the three fastest women in the world have shh?
Did you really just pull that from the air just now?
Yeah. What? I think it's interesting. All right, back to the statement.
That's wild.
Who power rank most likely to win Olympic gold? Michael Norman in the 4, Fred Curley in the 1, Toby Amison in the 100 hurdles. And Alison Dos Santos in the 400 hurdles. So those four.
I'm thinking Fred and Michael Norman.
Most likely?
Yes.
I think those...
I kind of feel like that 400 is so open.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it's open.
Yeah.
It's whoever has the best race that day.
If Michael Norman can get healthy.
If he can stay healthy, Michael Norman.
So, most likely...
Yes.
To have a good comeback season is Michael Norman.
Yes.
Second most likely.
Are we mutually agreeing on that?
Yeah. Now I look back on it. Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay.
Because the field isn't as strong. So, yeah. Michael Norman, number one.
Okay.
So, now you have Dos Santos, Toby Amison, and Fred Curley.
What's your pick? My pick's Fred.
I would say Dos Santos.
Really?
Yeah. Now you saw that Rye Benjamin beat Warholm.
But he didn't beat him.
Yeah, but Dos Santos is still coming off of injury. Dos Santos is still young. Dos Santos ran really well in 2022. You're 46 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Dos Santos 2. Curley 3.
Okay, we're flipped there.
All right. You put Curley
2. Fred
2,
Dos Santos 3, and so then Toby 4.
4, Toby.
That hurdle field is too intense.
Too chaotic.
It's too many hitters.
Camacho Quinn, Kenny Harrison. Forever.
I'm putting Niali now.
Niali.
At first, I didn't have Niali, but after how she ran towards the end of the season, I'm like, okay.
See, look at this. We found a way to talk about track.
We did. But you were like, who is training right now?
Yeah, Fred Curley.
I'm like, no one is training right now.
Fred Curley tweeted greatness, and I was like, oh, yeah. I forgot about Fred Curley's greatness. And then I also forgot about Michael Norman's greatness. And yeah?
No. Michael Norman might be doing some, like, cross training right now. Because he was injured. So I can see maybe doing some pool workouts. Maybe some biking.
It is interesting
but
looking.
But no one else should be doing anything right now. You're crazy if you are.
It is interesting looking at like 2022 medalists. And yes, there are some like obvious repeats. Like Jakob in the 5K. Noah Lyles in the 200.
Jakob got married this weekend. He's had a very busy week.
Yeah, he's busy. Busy not winning the 1500, am I right?
Oh my gosh.
Josh Kerr.
No!
Josh Kerr. Hey, I just need a race at the Olympic final where Josh Kerr and Jake Whiteman are on either side of him.
That would be
And they're just like, that's what they do. They're like, say, I'm Josh Kerr and you're Jake Whiteman. This is Jakob.
Yeah.
And then it's act like it's no big deal. They know that they both look at Jakob and then they look at each other and they fist pound right in front of them. They go like this.
What?
So it's like 2022, 2023. Then Jakob's like, God dang it. You're my demons. And then Jakob goes on to like break the world record and beat them both. But that moment would be forever awesome. I just need Josh and Jake to like do a lot of trolling these next. They only got 1 year left of trolling in them. Because as soon as Jakob wins, they can't troll anymore. So Josh and Jake need to embrace the troll of Ingebrigtsen and just every so often just do like a, oh, are you a 1500 meter champion? Oh, no, this is, you know, that's for us. Yeah. I want that. We need more of that. Because Jakob's going to win in 2024 and then it's all going to come to an end.
I would probably pass out if I ever saw that.
They should do it. It'll be
fun. I feel like they definitely watch the Flow Track podcast.
Embrace the troll. Josh and Jake, they should. Isn't that like the name of a television show? Josh and Jake?
Oh, what's that show? Josh and. It's not Jake. Josh.
Yeah, Jake and Josh.
Oh.
Jake
and
Josh. I don't know. I made that
from
up.
From the 90s?
Sweet Life.
But it was Zach and Cody.
Drake and Josh. It was Drake and Josh.
Yes, what'd you say before?
Josh and Jake.
Yeah, I was like, no.
Jake,
okay.
Drake, same thing. Josh, Drake, Jake, and Josh. We need a reboot of Drake and Josh, but it's Josh and Jake, and they just sit around the campfire and talk about beating Jakob in his main event.
Are you going to produce this?
I'll produce it.
Okay.
Speaking of reboots, do you know?
I heard, yes.
They're rebooting The Office.
I heard that. That literally is the
like
talk of the town. I'm not an Office. I don't watch The Office. I might be that.
I love The Office, but we don't need to reboot it. Like, it's fine. Let it go. Let it be infamous. We don't need. It's definitely a sign of, oh, we're running out of new ideas, so let's just do something we know works. But then you ruin it. They're going to ruin The Office for me. Because then they're going to be, like, cameos. And, like, it's just not. It's going to be sad. It's like, these actors are going to be, like, cameoing. It's like, ugh. We don't need that. Make something new. And
yeah,
don't call it The
new.
Office. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Like and subscribe. Thanks for listening. We got a little bit of track talk in there if you stuck around through the Berlin and cross country topic. Oklahoma State men, pressure's on. You're now number one in the Flow Track rankings. Good luck with that. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Podcast will be back Monday.
Yes.
And we'll talk about more stuff. Like and subscribe. Thank you. Bye.